This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We just heard some audio from LSU head coach Jay Johnson as they get ready to face Omaha this weekend. Now happy to welcome in Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. Mark, how you been doing, man? What a great opening weekend it was all around.
Absolutely, man. Season's here, although the cold weather is kind of putting a damper on things. But yeah, we're excited to get things going.
Yeah, we were definitely disappointed last night here. The LSU game at Nichols was canceled due to weather. We kind of found out, though, the field conditions weren't necessarily great in Thibodaux, Louisiana, either. So we're moving on, though, looking at this Tiger team, 4-0 after, you know, taking on Purdue Fort Wayne. That was a pretty impressive showing, especially from the pitching staff. And we obviously know that Purdue Fort Wayne isn't a, you know, huge test in competition. But, man, oh, man, the Tigers' arms really look solid.
You know, that was one of the things heading into the season we really wanted to see. I mean, what would Cade Anderson, what kind of jump would he have from year one to year two? What would Chase Shores look like, right? Yeah. After really being out for a while? And certainly, you know, the transfer, Anthony Hyatson, what would he look like? What would Connor Ware's role be? What would Gavin Guidry look like? Or all of these kind of things. And we're starting to kind of get an idea. And I know the competition is not great right now, but it's going to ramp up pretty quickly, certainly when they go to Texas for that tournament. I do think that this is the kind of thing that, you know, you're kind of feeling your way, you're figuring out which lineup combinations to use. What pitchers should fill what roles. This is kind of the toy, you know, Jay Johnson's got so many toys to play with. He's trying to figure out, you know, how do I use this guy in what role? And that's the stage that we're in right now.
Mark, looking at this Tiger pitching staff, I want to get your thoughts on Cade Anderson, who will be pitching the opening game of the weekend series against Omaha. He pitched the season opening this past week against Purdue Fort Wayne on that Friday night start. When we were talking with Scott Sanders, a former MLB pitcher, about Cade, Scott, I think, was a little bit surprised that Cade got the Friday night start to open the season. I know things can change, but Cade looked awesome against Purdue Fort Wayne just this past week. Yeah. And Scott kind of highlighted the new slider that he's worked on in the offseason. And he's got a great fastball as a left-handed pitcher that goes from 92 to 95. But he's also got the secondary pitches that were working against Purdue Fort Wayne. Really pounded the zone, 5 scoreless innings, 8 strikeouts. Just wanted to get your thoughts on what you've seen so far from Cade.
Well, you know, when you look at the staff, he's not – Cade Anderson is not the – I guess his stuff is not as good as some of the others on the staff, right? But I think where he differentiates himself is he has an understanding of how to use his stuff. And his, I guess, maturity as he's grown from year one to year two is going to – That's going to be the biggest thing that people notice with him. You remember last year, he was primarily a midweek starter. He got some opportunities on the weekend and honestly doesn't go real well. So I think, you know, you gain so much with all that experience. Plus, he's had a velocity jump. I mean, you throw it harder, and you know, if you were throwing, you know, 91 last year and you're throwing 94 this year, I mean, 95 at times, that's significant. And I do think that when you're left-handed, and two, when you have that experience of knowing how to pitch and you can command the way he does, it certainly gives you an advantage. And I love that, you know, he's getting the opportunity to go out and really show what he can do this year. Because if you look around the league, there's some really, really exciting pitchers on Friday night. And I think Cade is going to be able to match up with some of the best in the conference.
Looking at the Tigers outfield, another, you know, impressive showing from them, and I know that's going to be a strength of this team as we go forward. We already saw Chris Stanfield getting one of the ESPN top plays, which Jay Johnson commented about. Always, you know, excited to see your guys out there. But overall, just your impressions of what you've seen and what we can expect from this Tigers outfield.
Yeah, I mean, Stanfield, he's an agitator, man. I mean, when he gets on base, you know it. And I really like that different feel that he's going to give to the lineup. And then Derek Curiel, I mean, this does not look like a freshman. I mean, I think he's going to be one of the better hitters in the conference this year, and he's still figuring it out. I mean, just wait till he knows what he's doing. I mean, as a young kid coming in, he's got to be feeling, you would think, I mean, most of us would be all, you know, worried and trying to feel our way through this, and he just jumps right in and hit straight away. And, you know, Jake Brown was a guy last year we really had high expectations for because he had such a great fall, and he's come out and had another great fall, and it looks like, you know, if he can put it together, I mean, that's another difference maker. And I don't know where you find, you know, with Ashton Larson, I don't know how you get these guys enough at bats. I mean, they're just there's so many good options, but that's what Jay's. I mean, I think that's his superpower, being able to find the find at bats, keep everybody going in the right direction, keep everybody, you know, from, you know, everybody wants to play, and there's only 9 spots in the lineup, so being able to keep everybody happy. And I think that's what Jay has been really good at over his career, and that's he's going to be challenged again this year because they've got plenty of options, especially in the outfield.
Jay had a great bite yesterday, Mark, or I guess this was actually 2 days ago after they beat Southern, when he mentioned that he's got 4 or 5 players that he's got to figure out how to combine all of their talents into 2 spots in the lineup. And he said, if I can make all these guys and just turn them into 2 All-American level talents, that's exactly what I'm looking to do. But he's got plenty of talent in this lineup, as you mentioned, and a lot of depth there too, which is fantastic for this roster. My question for you is, we were also listening to the audio in the first segment here, and he was asked about, you know, the top of the order. And when Daniel Dickinson kind of came into the picture from Utah Valley, I think we talked with you about this, Mark, that he's someone that you can kind of plug near the top of the lineup and just feel good about it. But at the same time, with how they've been using him early on, I think that's even a better spot for him potentially because of how good Chris Stanfield has been early on. He's basically a prototypical leadoff hitter. But then the freshman Derek Curiel has been great in the 2-hole. Jared Jones is the perfect 3-hole hitter for what this offense wants to do. But then you have to have someone to protect him. And I think that's where Daniel Dickinson will come in all season long, kind of in either that 4 or 5-hole protecting Jared Jones.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think Dickinson is probably better suited for maybe a 2-hole kind of spot. But as you mentioned, I mean, Curiel was maybe even better suited for that. And he's a freshman. He's only going to get better. So yeah, I mean, that gives you flexibility in the lineup. It also allows you, you know, just having a guy who's going to fight every at-bat, right? He's not going to be an easy out. He's going to make pitchers work. Certainly, if he's in the middle of the lineup, regardless of, you know, who he's around, I do think he's going to get lineup protection too, just because of, you know, his approach to play. I mean, that's one of the things that when I was talking to Jay earlier this year, he's just he's just, talking about Dickinson, he's just one of these guys who is always going to fight you. He's always going to give you good at-bats, and he's going to be able to make that pitcher work. And I do think that when you think about all these teams that LSU is going to play, you know, later in the year, being able to drive the pitch count up, being able to get into the bullpen earlier, things like that. You want that guy to get as many at bats as you can, and I do think as high in the lineup as you can get Dickinson, the better off you're going to be.
Looking at the matchup again for this weekend for LSU, I don't know much about Omaha. I don't know if you do. I had to even look up who basically their mascot is, the Omaha Mavericks. What can you expect for the LSU Tigers against this Omaha squad this weekend?
Mark, I just remember Aaron Fitt making fun of the Summit League just to get their teams better. It's been brutal for that league.
This is one of those weekends where it's all about LSU, right? So if LSU plays well, they go out and take care of business, this will not be a competitive series. However, you know, as we've seen in college baseball, you can lose if you don't show up to play because they've got scholarship athletes too. So I do feel like this is one of those where, you know, if the starting pitching comes out and does what it's supposed to do, the offense is able to jump on some of these, you know, Omaha starters who are not, you know, they're not as good as what LSU sees in practice. I think LSU's going to cruise. And that's the thing, right? LSU has a less than challenging pre-conference schedule other than the trip to Texas where, you know, they played Dallas Baptist and they've got some good opponents out there. But that's it, right? So the focus is on making sure that you're doing what you need to do to prepare yourself. And I feel like this is another step of that this weekend.
Wanted to circle back around, Mark. You mentioned earlier Chase Shores and what you saw from him this, you know, the opening weekend. I thought it was incredibly impressive because Jay had also mentioned the one thing that he saw from that performance. Chase Shores in his first game pitching in basically 2 years. You know, he had Tommy John surgery in April of 2023, and now he's back and ready to go. He threw 67 pitches, 5 innings pitched, and after that first inning where he gave up, you know, the earned run, he was just in a rocking chair, Mark. And it felt like, as Jay mentioned, every single batter that he faced, he was getting ahead of in the count. 0-2, 1-2 at the very worst. And that's exactly what you want to see from a guy coming off a major, you know, surgery in his first live game action. The jitters kind of got out the way, and then he just cruised.
Yeah, and that's really important for him right now. You know, to be comfortable as he's coming back and getting confidence, you know, from being out for so long and having some success because he's got to trust his stuff. I mean, his stuff is plenty good enough to get people out. I mean, he's throwing 98-99 miles an hour. He's got a really good slider. If he locates that, he probably doesn't need anything else. I mean, that's as far as he needs to go. I feel like that when you have a guy like Shores who's that talented and has that good of stuff, sometimes they get bored with it. They try to nibble, they try to experiment, they try to do things, and hopefully, you know, he can just, you know, focus on the task at hand because, he can be one of these aces that, you know, that we talk about, that we rave about all over the, you know, like Arkansas has this year and Tennessee has had in years past. He could be one of those guys, and it's I think the mental game for him will be just as important because we understand what kind of stuff he's got.
Looking at some of the other teams in the rest of the SEC, Mark, wondering what really stood out for you. I know Tennessee and Alabama, man, they were going yard and going, you know, heavy with the home runs. Yeah. But just wondering some other things that might have stood out from you from this past weekend of SEC action.
I was impressed with Ole Miss. They went to Arlington and played 3 ranked teams and went 2-1. I think that is especially for an Ole Miss club that has struggled the last couple of years, that was much needed. They needed some momentum. They needed something to feel good about, and they got it. honestly, that they got drilled one time. Texas thumped them pretty good. But then they rebounded the next day, and they run-ruled Clemson. I mean, Clemson's a really good team. So I feel like that was something that stood out for me, just because of where that program is right now. It's a big year for Mike Bianco. I think otherwise Texas, we knew they would hit, but we didn't know how they would pitch. And the first 2 days they pitched incredible. So even though they split those two games, I feel like they may be a little better if they continue to get that kind of pitching than what some of us had projected. I think the other thing that stood out for me is I went to Tallahassee on Friday and Gainesville on Saturday, where Florida played a doubleheader, and then I was back in Tally on Sunday. But Florida on Saturday, Brody Donay is a guy who last year was kind of all or nothing, and he would hit a home run, and then he would strike out, the next three or four times. And he is now homered in all four games that Florida's played. They changed his stance. He simplified everything. He looks like an absolute force right now. And I think that's what, with Florida losing Jack Caglione, arguably the best player in the country, just having somebody to help pick up that slack, I was really impressed with what Florida did this weekend.
Mark, you kind of mentioned earlier LSU doesn't have many tests in non-conference play, but one of them is coming up very soon. I wanted to get your scouting report. I know that we're a little under a week away from this matchup against Dallas Baptist, but who D1 baseball is ranked as the number 20 team in the country. Just wanted to get your thoughts on them.
Yeah, I mean, really good pitching staff, although since LSU's playing them on the weekend, I'm not real sure that you're going to get one of their better guys. So I do feel like that. LSU would certainly have the pitching advantage just from the depth. I don't know if it'll be Ware or Guidry or who might throw that day, but regardless of who it is, LSU will have a starting pitching advantage. Offensively, they're okay. I mean, that's probably not their strength, but they're going to be a really solid team. I mean, we got them ranked, so obviously they're we feel pretty good about their chances. I think they're going to win Conference USA. And it'll be a good win, when it comes time to evaluate resumes and all that kind of stuff down the stretch. But yeah, that's one of the harder games LSU's gonna face. And certainly playing, I believe that game's in Arlington. It'll be in a big league park. It'll be a cool environment, for fans that get to attend. And I do feel like that, those are the kinds of games, especially away from home, that prepare you for these big games later in the year, and LSU needs as many of those as they can get.
Mark, always appreciate your time. Great information. Definitely big fans here, and I'll be talking to you soon. Thanks so much for the knowledge.
Absolutely, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. You can follow him on Twitter or X @MarkEtheridge.